So in our gospel today, John the Baptist sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus a pretty simple question. Are you the one we're looking for, or should we wait for another? In typical fashion, Jesus does not come out and say, yes. Is there some time he's going to say, yes, and make it simple for us? No. Because we need to be engaged in the question, right? A simple yes or no answer isn't enough. So what Jesus does is he tells them where to look. And he said, look, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Jesus tells us where to look. Now, when Jesus answered them, notice that he didn't talk about theology or what they needed to believe. He didn't ask them what their views were on the latest hot-button topics of the day. He didn't ask them what they thought of the governor, nor did Jesus say to go around and accuse other people of sin and judge them. Nope, none of that. No, Jesus said, look at the results. This is how the kingdom of God shows. In results, the hungry are fed, the poor have good news brought to them, the disabled are healed, and so on. Now, in our modern world, we might assume that we should look for God's work in huge, fantastic ways. You know, the reasoning typically goes like this. If God is all-powerful and can do anything God wants to do, then of course God will choose to work in the most incredible, jaw-dropping ways. But that reasoning seems to forget that God does not use marketing firms. God doesn't have great ad campaigns. Jesus certainly didn't. You know, when Peter and other disciples said to Jesus, you're the Messiah. Jesus said, shh, don't tell anybody. What do we do with that? So if we don't see signs in the sky and a constant barrage of breaking news screen crawls, we might assume that God is not at work and that Jesus is not the one. If that's the kind of thing we're looking for is proof that God is active in the world in our lives, that Jesus is the one, then we're looking in the wrong place because we are not going to find the signs of proof there. And John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for somebody else? Jesus told them where to look, not to him, but to the signs around them. Just in case you didn't hear it, here it is again. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. The poor have good news brought to them. There's the proof that Jesus is present. So, what does it mean if we see those things going on? If we see people who are hungry, we see people who are not cleansed, if we see the dead remaining dead, if we see the deaf remaining deaf, does that mean Jesus is not present? Well, what it might mean is that Jesus' people aren't there in his name. Jesus is present, but Jesus' people may not be present yet. One of the journals I read completed a survey of people 18 to 35-year-olds practicing Christians, asking them, do they see and believe the church is making a positive difference on poverty and justice? 75% of them said yes. But less than 25% of non-believers said the church made any difference on poverty or justice issues. Now, while this is not conclusive, it does raise the important message or question of the message we are sending. Are we Christians focused primarily on our personal salvation and stopping there? Or are we focused on how we follow Jesus and how we live our lives, especially in relation to others? I mean, we know it is so easy to reduce practicing being a Christian and following Jesus to a few favorite issues and forget about the rest, as if it's a cafeteria line where we get to pick and choose things we like and pass over the parts that we don't. But following Jesus is not a matter of convenience or picking out the pieces that reinforce what we already believe and do. In fact, it's the opposite. Following Jesus means to sacrifice, to be open to challenging the things we like, and to make our choices that do not always benefit us personally or financially, to live for love, not for money, to live for people, not for profits. Is Jesus the one? Well, Jesus says, look in the right place. Are the hungry fed? Do the blind receive their sight? Do the lame walk? Are lepers cleansed? Are the dead raised? Do the poor have good news brought to them? Not often enough. Jesus spoke these words in a time when 90% of the people were quite poor, when life for many of them was just a couple rungs above survival camping. It was a time when disease was common, and if you were poor, disabled, sick, blind, or endured any other kind of suffering, you were blamed, and it was understood as a punishment from God for some sin you must have committed. They were living in an occupied country that was more brutal than the Nazi occupation of France in World War II. People were desperate for a change. They were waiting for a sign, any hope that God was going to be at work, that God was going to save them. And, of course, their sights were set in the short term. Get the Romans out and stop the economic injustice. Are you the one, Jesus? Are you the one? We live in a different time. We are not suffering what people did back then. In fact, we're, many of us, on the other side of the equation. We aren't the ones who are suffering or waiting for justice. For us, it is about what we do and what we believe. Because we are the ones who are able to bring about justice. We are the ones who are able to alleviate suffering and hunger and pain. And you know this, friends. You do. You do. You don't just say it. You do it. I have never known a group of followers of Jesus who make it their business to feed so many hungry people. You're amazing. Good news is brought to the poor. You do. You do raise the dead. You do bring new life to those who suffer. You do bring sight to the blind, even as we seek to have our own blindness to certain things healed. We do this not to prove or show that Jesus has come, but we do this because Jesus has come. We do this because Jesus has given us our lives back, setting us free from fear. We don't need to try to find God because God sent Jesus to find us. We're already set free. Is Jesus the one? Well, we need to look in the right place. First, we look to ourselves. Are we all in? Do we follow Jesus with our whole lives, with our actions, our money, how we spend it, how we invest it, how we use it, the way we treat other people? Do we practice forgiveness and mercy? Do we seek justice? You know, following Jesus is very much about what we believe, but it is also about how we live. And in this, we don't get to point fingers or judge others whether they are living a life that follows Jesus. That's easy to do. The harder thing is to assess whether we are consistent in following Jesus. Do we love? Do we forgive? Are we generous? So in the season of Advent, we live in this dual focus. At one level, yes, it's third week before Christmas now. But we know how that story finishes, right? Jesus is born, and again, it's the 25th this year. But we also prepare ourselves for Christ to come again to us, to live in us, not merely as a one-day holiday, but as the defining principle for how we live. The reason we get up, the reason we look out our windows, the reason we care, the reason we share, the reason we live. The truth is Jesus has come, and he is coming again and again to us and in us and through us. May Jesus come to you in ways breaking down fear and dread, bringing you comfort and hope, and working new miracles in you and through you.